This is the Page Publishing Book Club. How you doing? I'm Alice Stockton Rossini. Why don't we go to the inside passage of Alaska with Ree Lamar? I mean, thanks to COVID, it's the only way you're going to get there. So close your eyes and listen to the story behind One Whale of a Tale. So tell me exactly where you are.
It's right at the beginning of Alaska. Right. You go up to Washington State, you go through Canada, and then you hit what is called the Inside Passage. And we're at the top of the Inside Passage. So the three ports would be Juneau, the capital, Ketchikan, and Skagway. So when you cruise, because this is a cruise ship destination, you hit those ports. And then, of course, wherever else, you know, you want to go. And it's a gold rush town. It's North to Alaska, the movie.
Yeah.
With James Stewart, that old movie. That's all done in Skagway. I came up 20 years ago. I came up to sell jewelry, fine jewelry. There's a jewelry store on every corner. This is my independent project. Because, Alice, when you work in Alaska, you come up and work 5 months. 12-hour days, 6 days a week, basically. And you make a lot of money, and then you can take your winter off or go back to work somewhere else or collect unemployment, right?
Okay.
And so, yeah, I came back and started working for my book. And for some reason, it just started coming out of me. And one of my characters that helped to inspire that for some reason, and someone had read my poem and said, "You're going to write." From that day forward, and that was in the last 20 years ago, and I thought, when is this going to happen? And then, poof, it happened here in Alaska. This book started out as a dream. I had a dream that I was walking down by the ocean on one of the fishing docks, and a giant volcano went off, and the earthquake went off, and a tsunami came and threw me into the ocean. And before I hit the ocean, I landed on the tail of a whale. And she flung me out of the ocean. So when I woke up, I went, oh, my God, I got to write this down. And I kept writing all the good stuff that happened to me here.
So it's the adventures of Peter and Marion.
Yes. All right. Well, Marion is basically me. But nobody wants to hear an adult story like that. So I made it through the eyes of a children. So Marion is from Los Angeles, and Peter is her little buddy from Boston, whose grandfather is a scientist. And the two of them are up here with their parents or whoever. See, it's kind of like you never really know about the parents, but you know the respect the children have for the parents. So anyway, Peter and Marion are on their Alaskan adventure. They come up and they fly on the little bush plane, and then they have these different adventures in Alaska on the Inside Passage. This book has three stories in it because books are expensive. So they put all three stories in one book under the title, It's One Whale of a Tale. The first adventure is riding on the tail of a whale. The second adventure has to do with a very special medicine man who rides on the tail of a killer whale, and killer whale loves his chocolate blueberry creams and wants to trim his tail in gold. The third story, Eagle Online, they all pack up and go fishing at Lake Snafu with the Lestinkoffs from St. Paul Island, and the medicine man hears of this adventure at Lake Snafu and brings Peter's very own little eagle feather. So they're all entwined, but they all could be separate books, which will happen in the future.
What?
Like so thank you.
So how are you getting them out there? Are you selling them to the tourists that are tourists still coming through the Inside Passage at this
okay.
point?
Okay. Alice, this was to be our biggest summer in the history of Alaska. Over 1 million people in 5 months in our historically 7-block-long little town. I'm probably the only Alaskan distributor. And, you know, I was all excited, this and that. And then, poof, no tourist, because we cater to the cruise ship industry. Zero tourist. So we're dealing with people that are in the town and a few stragglers that and have been able to come up here for whatever reason to maybe visit relatives. So I'm getting the book out in the little town because right now I work for the Back Alley Rock Shop for Dr. Rock. and I sell my book in his store, and it's all metaphysical rocks and ivory and woolly mammoth and fossils and beautiful crystals and stuff like that. So the local people have been coming in, but in this town, the windows and the stores are from the 1800s. So I took one of the windows and I made my whole entire window for It's One Whale of a Tale. And it's very colorful. I put a giant poster in there, all my books. So August 1st, I started doing book signings.
Did you have masks?
We have not had one case of the COVID. And of course, we have some mask holes up here. No, I thought that was, we have the mask Nazis. No shirt, no shoes, no mask, no entry. And I'm 60. So put your mask on. All
okay.
right. And
okay.
I mean, you know, there's only 900 people here if.
Oh.
All right. So, yeah, nobody's standing in line. If it was a typical summer, I would be teaching gold panning. I would be selling. I would be restocking. I would be selling my book all over town. Right. So, yeah, I would have been running all over town, signing the book in the different stores.
All right. Well, as soon as I can get up there to see you, I'm gonna.
Oh, my God, I would love that. Really?
I swear.
I would love that.
Yeah. I would love, as soon as Canada lets us in, we're out of here. We're going to travel again.
So would you drive?
Yeah, why not?
Perfect.
Maybe.
I promise you.
Why not?
In my book, the kids go from Skagway to Lake Snafu, and this is one of the most beautiful, famous drives in the country. It was all yellow flowers for as far as the eye could see. All you need is a little hat, like a down vest and a pair of gloves. That's it. I don't even hardly wear shoes in the summer here.
Wow.
It's too hot. Okay, and before we go,
yes,
I have been creative to give back at this time because I have no tourist. I have donated it to over 10 libraries on the Inside Passage. I'm working with the Native Tlingit Haida Association. I sent it to the Dolly Parton Book Club because she wants a million books before she dies, and I got to be a part of that. So, yeah, I'm taking over.
Good. You go, girl.
It's one whale of a tale.
All right. Equally entertaining is our next author, Phyllis Dubetsky, inspired by her gated community in Florida to write Stepping Stones. After a career in print media as a magazine editor-in-chief and managing editor. So you're no stranger to writing.
You know, I've been writing. I always have these ideas and I start books and then I sort of get bored. But this one I didn't get bored with. This one was fun to write. And it was kind of an experience, you know, you go through something and you say, well, what if I were to do this? And it's sort of a what if, so you take it from there. You know, what if I decided to pull up all my roots and go live on a remote island somewhere? And so that was really how I built the book. It's about a woman who lives, you know, who's retired, who is widowed, and goes on a cruise and falls in love with one of the islands. And she just feels like, you know, like there's a geography of the soul. And she feels she's found her place. So the book is about that. And it's about the reactions of her adult children and about the adventure she finds. And romance, she does find romance. She does find a light. At the beginning, as you know, just her children talking to each other, you know, like mom's gone crazy. Then you sort of skip over to where she is and how she comes to this decision and, you know, how difficult it is and yet how amazing it is. And she just sets off on an adventure. She moves to the island, takes a painting, and her interaction with the island people, and she does meet several people, and then a lot of expats living there. And you want the whole thing? You don't want just the trailer, like coming attractions? No, okay. The romantic aspect of it is rather unexpected. And
how does that come about?
And it works out. Oh, that is the surprise of the book, that she finds a life, that she finds a love in her life.
How do the kids react to that?
And that her children gradually come to accept that she is just not going to sit around and curl up and be retired. She wants something more for herself. Basically, she wants to be her own person. She has spent her life catering to husband and children and doing what they like and what they want. And all of a sudden, she has just burst out of her shell.
Did that really happen to you?
No.
Do you wish it did?
No. People in the book are real. I would say they're mostly real.
So how much fun was it to write this book?
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to see where it was going. You know, sometimes when you're writing, the characters take over. It's a really strange experience, but the characters take over and you just write what they say and what they do. You have something in mind, but all of a sudden it diverges because the characters decide that they want to do something else. I know it sounds a little bit insane, that should be in the booby hatch, but really that is what happens.
No, authors tell me that all the time.
Well, at least I'm not alone in my insanity.
You're not alone. So.
Okay.
Here you are in publishing and in editing, and this is the first book you've ever written. Are you going to keep writing?
Yes, I might. Well, if my public demands it.
What do you do when you're not writing?
Well, now nothing because of COVID. But I'm an avid bridge player, very social, so I go out to dinner quite a bit.
So you need a book signing.
Oh, yes, sure. I'm sure people would love to come into an enclosed space and stand in line and wait for me to sign a book.
You are so funny.
The book, I know, the book is funny, too.
You could have an outdoor book signing in Florida, couldn't you?
Sure, I could.
With masks, tell all your friends. Not gonna.
You know, there's a Barnes & Noble near me, and they used to, if you were a local author, or the library, if you were a local author, they would sometimes do a book signing. But that's sort of out these days.
Well, you know what? Let's hope this thing passes and it'll be in again. And then you can...
Okay.
You can, like, get this thing going. Don't you
want to... All right. If it weren't so hot outside, we could do it. It's nice in the 90s.
Why did you write this book? Did you write it because you wanted to sell it or because it was just for fun?
I wrote... Well, of course, one always wants to sell it. And I can't understand why Hollywood hasn't snapped it up yet. No, it's just fun to write. You know, getting it down and getting the characters down, getting the descriptions down.
Maybe Hollywood's listening right now.
Yes. If they have a brain in their heads, of course they would be.
All right, listen. You know,
is this going to be actually out in public? What?
Any advice for people contemplating writing a book?
Yes. After you've written the book, be prepared to do a lot of work. Because there's proofreading and there's editing and there's happy editing and, you know, to the point where, oh, if I have to read this book one more time, I'm going to shoot myself in the head. So it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But altogether a very nice experience, very fulfilling.
All right, Phyllis, I think I'm going to go write a book.
Okay.
All right, you've inspired me.
Yes, let me know if I can help you in any way.
Well, you could edit it for me, and then we could blow our brains out together. What do you say?
Okay.
All right, Phyllis, listen, have a great day.
Pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, same here. And it's break time on the Page Publishing Book Club, but we're coming right back after this.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then now's the time to call Page Publishing at 800-204-6099 and do it immediately. You see, they're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review most of the books submitted to them. And they'll even give you their feedback. And if they like what they read, Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, and other outlets. They'll handle everything. Copyright protection. production, printing, cover art, publicity, and editing. So if you've written a novel, a children's book, a cookbook, inspirational work, a book of poetry, or biography, and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-204-6099 now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. For your free author submission kit, call Page Publishing at 800-204-6099.
We are back on the Page Publishing Book Club. I'm Alice Stockton Rossini. Thomas Blitch is a retired U.S. Navy officer in Florida. He runs a chain of preschools with his wife and wrote a book about his dad, who retired as a rear admiral after a career as a World War II dive bomber. It's a great story. But tell us why you really wrote it.
Because my wife had written a book a number of years ago, and she proved it could be done. And I've written a lot of material over the years and decided that I better get off my duff and do something myself.
Okay, so what's the book about?
It's the story of Pop Harrison, who is a dive bomb pilot, coming home to Charleston, South Carolina, and decides to open up his home into a boarding house. And I include a lot of his experiences, a lot of experiences from the family who were in the planting business around the turn of the century, from the 1800s to the 1900s, and were very successful. And he meets a lot of characters along the way. And he also has flashbacks to his war experiences and to the experiences of the family. True life stories of Pop being shot down and being at sea for 3 days, leading a lot of the major battles, a lot of the strikes, what it was like to be a dive bomb pilot, which are very similar to PTSD of the day. What it was like during the end of the 1940s, going into the 1950s, it was a time when the world was in complete devastation and trying to recover from World War II. And a lot of people were killed, families were separated. It's bringing to life that period of time and what it was like for people to live through that. He was awarded the Navy Cross, the Navy's highest award.
How did that come about?
Well, he led a strike, as he did many times, and it was a significant strike during a fight in the Pacific where the casualties were very high, and he exhibited an extreme amount of courage and leadership in leading the strike. It started off as a biography, and I had little bits and pieces of the stories I remember from around the dinner table when I was a young child. And so I started doing more research, and I found his name in, you know, several books about World War II. And then as I was going down this path, I just discovered more and more of these little fact-filled nuggets, if you will. But it still wasn't enough to put into a book. And a biography, of course, by definition, is a nonfiction. And nonfiction writing is not my forte. So I decided there just wasn't enough there, and I needed to make it more interesting. So it morphed into a historical romance novel. And that way I could blend all the true and actual events into a storyline that was interesting and the readers could follow. But the whole book itself is a scrapbook of my life and the different experiences and people I've met and things like that.
The research was extensive then.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't want to describe a scene that existed in the late 40s, early 50s that was inaccurate. Yes, yeah, so I went to great lengths to describe everything in great detail, keeping in mind that I'm trying to create an image in the reader's mind of what something looked like or what something sounded like or smelled like.
Right. So now what?
A lot of things are put on hold right now, but that gives us a lot of time to regroup and to take a look at things and to examine our approach to the marketing of this and to getting the word out without having to feel rushed. So we have a little bit of time to work on things. We're working on a screenplay for this. We're adapting this. I'm in the middle of recording an audiobook. So there's a lot of different avenues that we're going with this. I might even write a stage play about this. So there's a lot of things that we can do, and there's some spin-offs of the story that we can do. It's almost like that a certain part of my brain has been stimulated.
Well, that's a good thing, Thomas. Thank you. A fifth grade teacher in North Carolina, ML Curtis, like so many authors, started her book, Layers of Silence, years ago, but didn't get the chance to finish it till she was a stay-at-home mom.
When I started writing it many years ago, it was sort of a way to deal with what was happening in my life then and maybe shed just a brighter light on some things happening that were kind of dark. And after I became a mother and I found a little bit of time, I thought, I don't want my life to be meaningless because one day, you know, I'll be gone. The students that I currently teach will move on. My own child will move on. I wanted something to leave my mark on the world. And I felt like this is my way to do it. It was like a calling, but definitely inspired by things that really happened. So you've got three women and they all attend a support group for adult children of deceased parents. So Daphne is, you know, a little bit of a workaholic. She's a single, career-oriented woman, very beautiful on the outside, physically stays in shape, but she is very insecure about herself, and she battles with that. And then you've got Rachel, who's a stay-at-home mom, has two beautiful kids, has a wonderful husband, but she struggles with this childhood trauma that kind of creeps its ugly head in every now and again, and it definitely creates issues. And then you've got Kate, who's a waitress. She's single, she's young, and she suffers from OCD. And basically a childhood friend comes back into her life after being gone for almost a decade and then sort of complicates her life in a way that she's not expecting.
Is this Adult Children of Deceased Parents a real group?
It's actually not. It was totally made up, but I thought it sounded real, so I just kind of went with it. Two of them actually end up being friends because they attend the group and they end up attending the group together after a while. Another two basically end up just having a brief encounter. They meet sort of just one time, but one of them just sort of resonates with the other because there's a random act of kindness that takes place. So one always remembers the other. And two of them never actually meet, but they end up kind of being bonded at the end in a little twist.
Have all of these women lost their parents?
One of them actually lost both of her parents in a car accident when she was a toddler. Doesn't remember them at all. So that definitely, you know, creates some issues. One of them actually lost her father tragically when she was 7. And another one is actually adopted. So she's not sure if her parents are even alive anymore, but her adoptive mother is battling cancer.
Oh,
so her... Right. And so that character going, it's almost like she wants to prepare herself for what she can expect if. So that's how prepared she likes to be.
Now, do all of these women gain support from each other?
Definitely. The two that end up becoming friends absolutely gain support from each other. And the one that really isn't involved with the other two, I don't think she ever really finds the support that she needs, tragically. I think we all really struggle with issues. And I think at the end of the day, a lot of our issues are similar. I think we're all a little bit insecure deep down inside. I think that we all have tendencies, like with the OCD, our little quirks, if you will, that make us who we are, that we sometimes fight, but that actually makes us who we are. And I think we also all have something buried down deep inside, maybe from childhood, that we kind of keep buried with us, and it affects who we are and how we interact with the world. And I think if everyone stayed mindful of that and were kinder, the world would be a better place.
Well, I would hope so, ML Curtis. Thank you. 10 years ago, our next author started thinking about how he could scare people into believing in something. And he hopes he succeeded with Ruins of Faith.
Hi, my name is Shelley L. Spencer. I'm from Schenectady, New York, but I live in Massachusetts now. And I'm a graphic art designer and author. Basically, it's a faith-based book, and I felt like there's not enough true faith out there, or people just got the wrong concept of faith. So I made it. It's a horror, basically, to scare people into having the right kind of faith.
But it's scary time, Shelley. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, these times, it's scary to an extent, you know, but I know most of it is propaganda. And this book, God allows the devil to take respite on the world. The time comes. It's not really like an Armageddon, but it's just time for the devil to wreak as much havoc on the as he can on the faithless, the people who don't really have true faith. The ones who do, as long as they use their faith, then they're all right. There's a main character. His name is Alex Turner and his wife, Teresa. They actually have a son. They're basically the main character. The son's friend, he ends up missing. A couple of weeks later, he returns, but when he returns, he brings the demons with him. So it starts to rain black, and they find him in their basement. So they're actually taking this kid and they're trying to figure out, he's not talking. He's basically You know, he's silent. His eyes, he got cataracts on his eyes, and he's just like in a catatonic state. So they're trying to like figure out what happened to him. So, but meanwhile, while they're trying to figure it out, you know, things are happening all around. People are being killed and mutating and all types of sick stuff that's going on. In the end, they have to find their faith. Basically, things happen to them that test their faith, to make them see if they really do believe in something. It doesn't even, and it's not necessarily a belief in God. It can be a belief in human beings, belief in family. So they get tested to the extremes to show that they really do have faith in something. In the end, they show that they do. See, it's ruins of faith because, you know, it's the last remnants. People are on their last leg. Faith is ruined, but it can be restored. So, it's, you know, it's the ruins of faith, but it can be restored. You know, I like horror. And plus, I told you, I wanted to incorporate faith into horror. You know, make it so scary that people will start thinking about what they do, you know, instead of just not helping somebody, they'll decide to help. Because what if this does happen? You know what I mean? So I just wanted to make it where people just, at least, you know, open their eyes up and at least look at what faith is and what it means for society.
So what took 10 years to get it done?
It's a pretty long process writing it. Plus, you know, I had life to live, you know, had bills to pay, had, you know, couldn't write while I'm at work for 8 hours.
Right.
So I could only write like maybe a little bit here and there. So it just took a while to all come together because of, you know, everyday life events. You know, still got to move on.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Well, keep moving, Spencer, and so will we. That is all we wrote for this edition of the Page Publishing Book Club. Thank you, authors, for your inspiring stories. Thank you, people who actually tuned in to join us right here, right now. And thank you, podcast downloaders, who know where to go if they want to binge on the Page Publishing Book Club. 710WOR.com. I'm Alice Stockton-Rossini. Catch you next time.